This is a conversation with Anders Lillevik, CEO and founder of Focal Point, who transitioned from corporate procurement to entrepreneurship after seeing firsthand how inefficient and disconnected traditional procurement systems can be. He shared how Focal Point brings data, automation, and supplier insights into one place to help teams work smarter and faster. I love how he focuses on solving real procurement problems and using AI to clean data, support due diligence, and ultimately reduce the human cost of disorganized information. Great. Very nice to meet you, Anders. Thank you very much for joining the Humans and AI podcast. I appreciate that you make time for this.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Completely your floor.
Thank you. So let's start. Anders. I love your journey. It's very interesting. So you started as an operator and now you are an entrepreneur, builder. So you started as a CPO, US CPO that shaped the Focal Point, which is, and you decided to do this because you wanted to solve real problems. Would you mind to share a little bit of your journey and your background and how did you get to this point?
Sure. Yeah. It's interesting. Like you said, I started off with the idea, you know, when I was a young person that I needed to get an education, get a corporate job and do the corporate ladder thing. And I did that I worked in industry for 25 years as head of procurement for big, ugly companies with big, ugly problems. And I recognized and realized that the systems and the solutions that were in place were very tactical and let's call them transactional in nature. So procurement basically is second to only human resources in terms of expenses for most companies out there. And if you think about companies like Apple and Nike, like most of their operations and procurement and device manufacturing is outsourced to third parties. So I would probably argue that they spend more money on third parties than they do on their own internal employees. So and when you think about the fact that you need to manage these third parties just as internal companies and just as internal stakeholders, having a system to track a contract and track a PO and those kinds of things are extremely tactical in nature, and it doesn't cover the breadth and depth of what procurement is asked to undertake. And as a 45-year-old person that's only been working in big ugly companies with a lot of security, it was a big leap for me to ask my wife at the time, saying, I'm going to leave this very secure, steady job to basically make nothing. And I want to use our savings account to bootstrap the company. And that's how we started in 2020. Ironically, my incorporation date was March 18th of 2020, like literally the week that the world shut down for the pandemic. And it's been a lot of fun building procurement technology. Like I said, I started off, it was just me hiring someone to build the MVP and then slowly getting funding, and it's been a very big learning experience for me. It's been a lot of fun.
Beautiful story. That's the reality of every founder, every entrepreneur. Now you are the CEO, founder of Focal Point, you say a procurement company. So would you mind to share a little bit what Focal Point is all about?
Sure. So if you think about what procurement does, when I started off in procurement back in the 1990s, it's all scary to say that, procurement in most organizations was all about saving money. So we would take categories of spend, I don't know, office supplies and paper, or whatever the case may be, and commoditize it so you can take it out to RFP and save a bunch of money. And it was easy, right? You save a lot of money, you could cherry pick your projects. Then 10 years later, Enron failed. I don't know if you remember that or not, or if you're around or not, but we had a big failure in corporate America, and it was because they were hiding cash. So the financial stability of the company was terrible. They lied to shareholders, all that kind of stuff, right? And all of a sudden, procurement got thrown into the mix to say, now we need to make sure that who we deal with are financially viable, their control environment's good. So we needed to, number one, deal with every single solitary selection process, but also the process became much longer because you needed to do a whole bunch of background checks. You needed to do a lot of stuff that weren't necessarily procurement related, but you still needed to make sure they were done. So basically, procurement went from saving the company money to saving the company from bad actors. And now in 2025, you also need to save the world. So now you also need to make sure that you don't hire slave labor. You got to make sure you don't hire people that pollute. You got to make sure there are so many things now that procurement is asked to do. And the systems that are done, that you need to do these things in, are typically Excel, right? Excel is probably the most used procurement tool in the world. But also, if to the extent to which you have systems, the data sits in different silos, it sits in different systems, and information travels by keystroke. So the idea of Focal Point, hence the name, is to bring all this data together so that you can look at something and know everything about that thing, whether or not it's a supplier or category of spend or what the stakeholders are doing, all those kinds of things. So that was one of the guiding principles: bring the data together, clean it up so that you can normalize it. And then when you click on the supplier, you get to see the spend, how quickly you pay them, how many contracts you have, how many projects are going on, what the risk of the supplier are, like all those kinds of things. The second tenet of the solution is to build a workflow engine. It's now called orchestration. I'm not entirely sure why, but it's really a workflow tool, right? And that workflow needs to be able to basically model anything that procurement does. And procurement selects new vendors depending on the risk and criticality of that supplier, how much data they get, how critical they are to operations, like all those kinds of things. So that workflow needs to be contextual to say, all right, if any of these things are true, then here's the extra steps you need to undertake. And if you are located in a specific geography, for example, which is called context, to say, all right, you're in Japan, here are Japanese rules that you need to apply. So this workflow engine is both contextual and conditional, so that you can basically model anything that you need to do. And that tracks the procurement projects from left to right with the right information, with the right stakeholders involved, with the right process behind it. And obviously, we are compelled to sell to large companies, enterprises that have that kind of level of complexity. And what essentially we do with that underlying tech is we sell it into a few modules. Number one is that whole idea of saying, I need help from procurement. How do I get to the best place to execute that work? So that's one module that we sell. Then we have the procurement activity tracker, where we talk about all the things that procurement does: to manage suppliers, do RFPs, contract renegotiations, renewals, all those kinds of things. Then we have a supplier management platform, where we talked about that one view of the supplier. You can also track the risk. You can track the SOC 2s. You can track the insurance certificates, all those kinds of things. And also sit down with your critical suppliers on a quarterly or monthly basis and innovate together. And the last product that we have, and the big product, is about category management. So enterprises spend billions of dollars on big categories of spend. And it's probably a good idea to manage. If you spend $1 billion on anything, you probably should manage that somewhere else than Excel. Right. So the idea is you sit down and say, what's going on in this category? Who are the big suppliers? What are the risks? What are the desires of the business? So you prioritize the priorities of that category and you set up the plan to execute. So those are the things that procurement does. And we align ourselves to the procurement processes, not necessarily in the tactical to say we need to send out an RFP. Yeah, we have a tool for that, but that's not really our bread and butter, right? Or storing a contract. Yeah, we have a tool for that, but that's not really our bread and butter either. It's about pulling things together with the right data, with the right workflow, with the right stakeholders at the right time.
That's great. So yeah, I kind of read a little bit about what you guys were doing, but there's so many things that I'd rather you just say it to me because I was like, I don't know what to ask. So
nerdy, right? Like it's really nerdy. Like having been doing this for a number of years, like in order to understand it fully, you have to lived in the shoes of a practitioner, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Anders, you mentioned that one of the reasons that you built Focal Point is to solve real problems instead of chasing trends. What does mean solving real problems for you?
Procurement is typically seen as, let's be honest, like no one really wants to talk to procurement, right? The vendors don't want to talk to procurement. The business users, they don't want to talk to procurement because they just want to be able to go on with their lives and say, I picked the supplier, I want to deal with the supplier, move on. And a lot of the reason why people don't want to deal with procurement is procurement has a lot of rigor in what they do, right? So they want to make sure that all these boxes are checked. And sometimes procurement uses process as a blunt instrument. So the whole idea is saying, look, you don't need to have that 2,000 question questionnaire go to a supplier that's going to sell you ice cream, right? So it's the idea of tailoring the right due diligence based on what you're actually buying. So that's solving a real problem because if you're bogging down information security with stuff they really don't need to look at, for example, then you're solving a real problem. Or if they can deal with a much smaller questionnaire rather than the whole thing, you're solving problems for the vendors. And the other thing is to make sure that you can go from A to Z as quickly as possible, but it's with the least roadblocks as possible. So we're big into automating stuff that can be automated so that everyone in the organization can focus on strategic stuff, the stuff that actually makes their day better, that makes the company better. That's what I'm talking about, solving real problems. It's not about how can I get my stuff. Like that, you absolutely need to answer that question, but there are so many people that can do that already. And so it's about creating an environment, a focal point, if we will, where all the activities can be done at a quick, expedient manner so people don't have to log into six different systems to get the answer to one question. Again, that's a real problem.
Okay, thanks for clarifying. Do you have any real-world examples of how AI works in procurement?
It's interesting because I think the AI in procurement is still nascent. And we're driven by GTP-style models where you ask a lot of questions of GTP and say, how do I best write an RFP to select XYZ? Which is good. Let's be honest. There's value in that. So there's a lot of folks that are using that as the model to deliver value. The challenge I have with that is that it's unstructured. And typically, we like things to be structured. So you can say, how many times did I ask this question? What was the response to that question? And so on and so forth. I think we're still struggling a little bit to get to that structured way. What we are focused on is using the data layer that we have. So we talked about normalizing all this data. So when you go to market and you want to write that RFP or you want to figure out what strategy to take, you can say, I'm a company. Okay, let's say I'm a bank. I have locations in these six states. I'm regulated by the OCC. I spend $200 million on this category. My top three suppliers are these three. My contracts are coming up for renewal these dates. Now, again, that's context that you feed into the large language model. And now you can say, all right, based on that information, tell me what my portfolio analysis, like what is the competitive environment that I need to look after? What regulatory things do I need to look after? What questions should I ask knowing that my company is really interested in diversity and inclusion or risk mitigation or? And that's a real example of how you can use the data that you have as context to get really good strategy outcomes for procurement. And I think that's what we're lacking. I think today still a lot of folks are generically getting good questions to ask in an RFP, but they're not specifically tailored to the industry that you're in or using the data that you have to be able to push that through. The other thing that we love using AI for is obviously cleaning up supplier data. We love being able to automate supplier due diligence. So for example, doing negative news assessments, using a large language model for that, doing cyber posture type information, being able to do financial stability assessments on public companies, like all that stuff can happen at the drop of a hat now, whereas it would take literally weeks and months to get that work done. And by the time it's finished, like it's too late. So now as we're onboarding a supplier, all we really need is the URL. And we can do so much with that information to speed up that process so that people no longer have to fill these very large questionnaires that to have information that's already publicly available. That's the real stuff. I also think that there's tons and tons of tasks, like manual tasks that can be automated. Like, for example, reviewing a proposal, reviewing a SOC 2, validating that certificate of insurance meets the requirements of the company, reading a contract and giving us to say, right, what are the red flags in this contract, like all that kind of stuff. And again, these are things that are done typically manually and poorly, and it takes a long time. So there are lots of things that AI and procurement can be done to speed up the process, especially when you have the right data and process underlying it.
Actually, talking a little bit about, you said researching your competitors of the market, right? So no longer ago, I don't know if you know him. I've talked with Kevin from Farm Market. I don't know if you're friends of your competitors, but you're not?
We're not competitors. I know of Kevin. I've only met him like once. But running Farm Market is a good company for sure.
Yeah, so I know that he's doing procurement too. So that's what I was thinking, maybe you were a competitor or something. So well, you're not so scared. Because he's doing something more related with AI agents and things more. Yeah, so a bit different. So do you have any kind of other companies or leaders or builders who in your field that you admire or it helped you to push through with Focal Point?
You know, it's interesting because most of our innovation is actually driven by our customers. And our customers are coming to us and say, we perform this task 200 times a week. Here are the inputs, here are the outputs. How can you help us streamline this process? And rather than, again, going through GTP, we're building agents to perform that work. So we're building a large language model agent, providing the input, providing structured output, and moving that forward. So our customers are actually the ones that are continuing to push us and challenge us to create better solutions because they know where it hurts, right? I have a pretty good idea, but I haven't been in procurement now for 6 years. So it's good to help them push us in that direction. I'm not saying that there's not good AI companies out there, companies that are blazing trail. But I also think that a lot of these things are very use case specific. So what Kevin is doing on the sourcing side, for example, it's not exactly what we do. We look a bit broader and a bit deeper, but he's very narrow into that particular space. And would I like to learn from him? Absolutely. Because I think it's a lot of knowledge to be shared out there.
Now, that's good that you can learn from everybody. Like everybody can learn from everybody somehow. So, Anders, you also mentioned something related with that the part of the most difficult part of AI or deploying AI isn't the technology, but change management, trust, so on. So would you mind to explain a little bit more of that?
Yeah. So typically what we do as we get introduced to a company is you typically have a champion that says, I want to automate some stuff because they have people shortages or they have work volume shorter surpluses that they need to figure out how to do. Or maybe they're doing something poorly and manually. And what we love to do is say, let's test it. Let's put a human in the loop. And let's make sure that we can do this one process multiple times and write the queries and the agent successfully so that it executes the work properly. Now, if you're looking at things like invoice processing, so we can take an invoice, we can read that invoice, we can parse that invoice, and then we can say, all right, here are the suppliers, the PO number, here are the line items, and here are the details. We can post that invoice. Now, it's financial transactions. You've got to make sure you get that. And typically, what you want to do there is you want to start small and, again, keep the human in the loop and make sure that folks are comfortable processing the easy stuff, what they perceive as easy. Like, we don't much care because we think it's all pretty easy once we've built it. But it's starting small and then proving the point and then expanding it horizontally across. Now, there have been instances where AI has been ineffective in solving the problem. And that's okay, too. But you have to come at it with eyes wide open to say, right, here are 200 ways we could deploy AI, we think. This is probably not a good use case for it, but these other ones are. So it's about being open and honest and not saying that you have the solution for everything. And I think transparency, as usual, is probably a great motivator for everybody involved.
Okay. So you've described this connected data as having a human cause. What does that cause look like for the teams you've led or the clients you serve?
One more time, a human cost?
Yeah, the human, you said like this connected data, you are connected as if there's a human cause when there's disconnected data, right?
Oh, for sure, yeah. If you have disconnected data, and this has been one of my pet peeves as a practitioner, is that the data you have is disconnected. It sits in silos everywhere. And if you think about, I don't know, I was working for a very large global company and just getting to understand what the spend was with our largest suppliers, we had to send an email to 4 different database owners and say, okay, can you tell me how much we spent in 2026 with that supplier? Now, you'd eventually get the answer, but you couldn't really trust that it was right because you don't know if the person pulled that based on the invoice date, based on the accrual date, based on the payment date, right? So it was typically like a hair on fire exercise to get everything done and to get everything right. So by connecting the data and putting in commonly used terms to say, we are going to report spend with suppliers based on a date the check or the date the payment left the organization. Okay, that's good. And just coming up with common definitions and those kind of things is very important. But then the spend data by itself may not tell the whole story. So let's say you spend $200 million with a supplier, but the contract says you only have $100 million to spend. Again, that's a really good data point to say we're overpaying for the supplier. And you realize that, you know, connecting all these different data points and bringing together like one view is very critical to making sure that you can get good decisions made.
Okay. So I understood that one of your main focus with Focal Point is to give back clarity and control to people, right? So why do you focus on that, basically?
Why do I focus on that? I think ultimately what I loved to be able to do when I go to stakeholders, let's call it the chief financial officer, and they say, hey, Anders, I'm going to be meeting with the managing partner of XYZ company. Can you tell me everything that's going on with XYZ company? What can I say to benefit us, our company, in the best way? Now, having that report available at the click of a button is huge, right? And that gives procurement credibility immediately to say, all right, here are all the moving parts and pieces of this relationship. Here you go, Mr. or Mrs. CFO. Off you go. Do your thing. Secondarily, procurement gets audited all the time. And when someone says, how do we make this decision? Who signed off on this? Why did we make this decision? Who signed off on it? Which suppliers did we invite to the dance? Why was that one disqualified? Like all those things are questions you get asked during an audit, for example. And I work for Fannie Mae. I would even get politicians calling me and asking why a decision was made. And we didn't have a system for that. So having the control points is one thing, but having the audit track to be able to say, this decision was made at 2 o'clock in the afternoon by this person with this information given to them. That's a very powerful statement. Whereas before, I would sign contracts with what I would call an idiot sheet, right? So basically it was a summary of the deal on one page, and then three people signed off on it, maybe the CFO, maybe the head of IT, and the stakeholder, and that everyone, yeah, this deal is good, and I signed the contract, right? But I had no information behind it. So why that decision was made. So the contract may be good, but the underlying assumption on how we ended up in that contract was not there. So the whole idea of having control, having the right data is hugely important. And it was for me as a practitioner. And I think that's what drives a lot of our customers. When you say, all right, you're doing a project in XYZ category, here are all the moving parts and pieces in that category, right? At the drop of a hat. It's very powerful stuff.
Okay.
That's boring, right?
No. Clarity and control. It's important. It doesn't have to be with boring, funny or fun or whatever. I think it's important. Don't worry. 100%. What kind of future are you trying to build? Not just for procurement, but for maybe in the human side. What would you like to see in the future?
So what I'm seeing more and more is that the ability for our customers to deploy our solution in ways that I never intended it to. I have customers now who are using Focal Point to have answer questions for stakeholders to say, can I expense this? Can I do this? Can I do that? So they ask a question. We use AI to query the policies underneath and say, yes, you can do this. Here's how you do it. Never thought of that. That's pretty cool. We have some customers who are using our solution to be front-facing. So they literally sent questionnaires to their customers as they're onboarding new customers. And again, they can ask and answer questions using AI and having it be self-guided. And so now when you build the right infrastructure, it can be used for a variety of things, not just procurement stuff. And you realize that there are so many ways you can deploy tech to work across the enterprise, not just within the silo. And I think that's very cool. And I think how we license our software is not restricted on users or restricted on geographies, those kinds of things. And yeah, they can turn around and expose it to their customers without violating any licenses and that kind of stuff. And I think having folks maximize the benefit of their investment without always having your hand out is a pretty good thing for us as well. So innovation driven by the customer is what I absolutely love to see.
Nice. So looking back at your journey, Anders, you've done a lot of stuff, but focusing in Focal Point, what has building Focal Point taught you about the human side of innovation?
That's a very good question, right? I think what we're seeing again and again is people are determined to come up with a solution, regardless of the cost, regardless of what the means they have at their disposal. And that was a heartbreaking thing for me when I realized, for example, when I had a team in the Philippines for one of my previous jobs, and they basically had these super underpowered databases, and they would parse the database in multiple chunks, and they would basically sit there for hours staring at the screen while they got the work done. And basically, I think nature finds a way, and again, that's how I think about it. But because of that, they have these Frankenstein's monsters that they create. So let's say I'm not going to pick on any specific company. I have an ERP, right? I have an ERP and I want to challenge the ERP provider to do this thing. And typically it ends up costing a lot of money. It fails. So it's about being able to say, look, there's an easier way of doing stuff. Let's talk about it together. Let's collaborate. And I think now with the idea of things no longer takes years to implement, it no longer requires a huge team to implement. I think that's really changing the behavior, right? And with an open mind and with the ability to really gain share and collaborate, we get some really cool stuff done. And I think that's the human side. You have to be a friend to get a friend, but you have to realize that, you know, my business stakeholders, as well as the solution providers, are looking to gain share and work together to solve real problems. I think that's really cool.
Great. Thanks, Anders. It was a great conversation. Thank you very much for joining the Human Science AI podcast. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Flora.
Thanks for listening to the Humans and AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.